Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance, and it's now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Shin Inoue, Director of Communication and Rapid Response. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you all for joining this call. As noted, my name is Shin Inoue, Director of Communications and Rapid Response at the Leadership Conference Education Fund. We are pleased to host this telephone briefing on the Supreme Court's ruling today in Department of Commerce v. New York, the litigation on the citizenship question in the 2020 census. Joining us today are Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund, Sarah Brannon, Managing Attorney with the ACLU Voting Rights Project, Arturo Vargas, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, or NALEO, Educational Fund, John C. Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, Aaron Payment, First Vice President with the National Congress of American Indians, Jerry Green, Senior Advisor for the Census, National Urban League, and Alma Kuverthi, Deputy Field Director for Immigration, Community Change, and the Fair Immigration Reform Movement Firm. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session, and the operator will advise reporters on how you can get into the queue at the appropriate time. Let me turn it over to Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. I wanted to start out with a huge thanks to litigators. The litigators in this case, our partners, and all the activists and advocates who really fought like hell to save the census, and we won today. This morning, the Supreme Court blocked the citizenship question from the 2020 census. This case was really never just about a form, but more fundamentally about who we are as a country. And the court's decision affirms what we know and have been saying, which is that the census has to be above politics and above poise for power. It must be above manipulation for partisan and racial gain. And because an accurate census is foundational to a fair and free democracy, we had to resist at every turn an effort to weaponize the census for partisan gain. As former head of the DOJ Civil Rights Division, it was clear that the Trump administration's rationale that the Justice Department needed a citizenship question on the short form of the census for voting rights enforcement was a complete ruse. Today, the court affirmed that the rationale was contrived, and the court stood up for the rule of law. After news of the citizenship question broke last year, the Leadership Conference Education Fund outorganized over 250,000 people in groups to urge the Commerce Department to drop the question. And when the challenge went to the Supreme Court, the Leadership Conference and the Brennan Center for Justice, along with nearly 200 other organizations, submitted a friend of the court brief supporting the lower court's decision. Today, we prevailed over nefarious actors trying to rig our democracy, but I really can't emphasize this enough, which is that our work doesn't stop here. Every person in America must be counted, and we're going to need a massive get-out-the-count effort to reassure communities that census participation is safe and necessary. Certain communities fear census participation, and no wonder. The administration's terrorizing immigrants and communities of color. And to the president, people are political pawns, and their safety, people's safety has become a bargaining chip. And we know that even the specter of the citizenship question intensified this climate of fear. And even in the best of times, without a citizenship question, the work to get to an accurate count is one of the most challenging operations in peacetime America. And that's why, in preparation for the 2020 census, the Leadership Conference Education Fund launched Census Counts, a collaborative campaign involving national organizations and state coalitions, including the States Counts Action Network and dozens of community partners in more than 30 states. Everyone's got a role to play in the success of the 2020 census. We need Congress to pass a spending bill that includes at least $7.5 billion for the 2020 census activities in FY 2020. We also need Congress to hold oversight hearings to get to the actual truth and hold accountable officials who lied about the motivations now that the Supreme Court has found that these reasons for adding the question were contrived. Congress needs to provide robust oversight and hold officials accountable for misleading the American public. state and local elected officials need to provide significant supplemental funding for community outreach and public education. Businesses and tech companies have to fight disinformation. And every person needs to be counted because census participation is really the best way to protest this administration's efforts to erase certain communities from our nation's diverse portrait. We have to remember that the Census Act enshrines really strong protections for data confidentiality, and the Education Fund and our partners are committed to challenging any actions by the administration that violates these laws. We know the census won't protect itself. We have to protect it. And today we've seen how powerful we are together. This was a really important victory for our democracy, and we're going to use this victory as fuel for the work ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanita. Next, we'll hear from Sarah Brannon, Managing Attorney with the ACLU Voting Rights Project.
Thank you, everybody. And I also want to give a very strong thanks to everybody who's been involved with the Census Coalition. There were a number of litigators in a number of different states working very hard on this case. In New York alone, we have 5 plaintiffs, and the New York Attorney General was representing 19 different state attorney generals throughout the country. So this has really been a very concerted effort. Everybody who worked very hard to get this case litigated in what really has to be described as a record time. So we're very, very pleased with the outcome today and very appreciative of all the hard work that everybody has done. This case has never been about a line on a form. It's always been about whether everyone in America counts. The Trump administration's attempt to prioritize and manipulate the fundamental pillar of our democracy, the census, has failed. Our communities all will be counted. We consider today's decision to be a great victory for immigrants and communities of color across America. And it's actually a victory for democracy itself, because now everyone will be counted. And we need everyone to come together and make sure that the 2020 census counts every single person. In a decision today that's a little bit complicated, but 5 of the justices came together and issued the essential part of the ruling, which is that the Trump administration's efforts at the citizenship question have now been blocked. The Supreme Court agreed that the administration's stated reason for adding a citizenship question was contrived. The Trump administration had put forth that the reason for adding a citizenship question was to help with Voting Rights Act enforcement. And the Supreme Court today, in a ruling written by Chief Justice Roberts, said that it was a contrived reason and that there was a little disconnect between the stated decision and the explanation given, and that the court could not abide accepting a contrived reason. And I think the important quote is, accepting a contrived reason would defeat the purpose of the enterprise. If judicial review is to be more than an empty ritual, it must demand something better than an explanation offered for the action taken in this case. So that is what we think is the most important part of this decision and the outcome, which is that the rationale of adding a citizenship question, which is the sole reason stated by the Trump administration, official reason for why they sought to add a citizenship question to the decennial census, was contrived. That is the ruling of the Supreme Court, and we couldn't be any more pleased. At this point, the injunctions in the lower district courts are still in place, and we think the Commerce Department should start printing census forms without a citizenship question, per their public statements that printing of the citizen census forms needs to start immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Next, we'll hear from Arturo Vargas, Chief Executive Officer of the Naleo Educational Fund.
Thank you. And can you hear me?
Coming in clear.
Yes, thank you. Greetings from Los Angeles, California, where we just held a press conference with the County of Los Angeles, the City of Los Angeles, and a number of community-based organizations who are all celebrating today's decision by the Supreme Court. What the court today did was walk us back from the brink of inflicting what would have been a catastrophic wound on our Constitution and a catastrophic wound on our democracy. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with this. Although the Supreme Court of the United States tried to give the administration as much of a victory as it could, Secretary Wilbur Ross's lies, political manipulation, and efforts to sabotage the 2020 census was too much, even for a majority of the justices of the Supreme Court. We know that the fight will continue in court, and the Leo Educational Fund is indebted to the many attorneys and legal organizations and our sister organizations in the legal community who took this fight to three different district courts and all the way up to the Supreme Court. And while this fight continues, we know that truth, justice, and science on our side. As a member of the Census Bureau's National Advisory Committee on Racial, Ethnic, and Other Population Groups, the NALEO Educational Fund has had an opportunity to see the Census Bureau prepare and plan for Census 2020, and we have seen their efforts sabotage with the purported addition of this question. We now call on Secretary Ross, the Department of Commerce, and the White House to stop this charade and farce and to allow the professionals and the scientists at the Census Bureau to do their job. And we will be with them every step of the way. NALEO Educational Fund, Agents of Americans Advancing Justice, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and all of our national and local partner organizations. We pledge to work with the Census Bureau to ensure that every single person is counted and to do all we can, now that we have a fighting chance, to put forth a constitutional, fair, and accurate census. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo. Now we'll hear from John C. Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC.
Thank you very much. Quite simply, democracy won today. As a co-chair for the Leadership Conference's Census Task Force and as one of the organizations that have been litigating the census citizenship question case, ours in particular in Maryland along with MALDEF, the census has been critical to our work. It is critical to the Asian American community because the Asian American community is the fastest growing ethnic community in this country. Between the 2000 decennial census and 2010 decennial census, we grew by over 46%, and we know that that growth rate continues. Thus, when the citizenship question was proposed, we knew that the effect that it would have on the Asian community. Over 90% of the Asian community are immigrants or children of immigrants. So what that means is that anytime that there is a question on citizenship or related to immigration, that affects our community deeply. We are gratified that the court saw through the pretext and the false reasons given by the Commerce Department regarding the need for the citizenship question. And although, as ACLU has mentioned, that there are certain aspects of the case that are being remanded to the lower court, we are confident that the evidence in the Maryland case, as well as the other cases, will continue to demonstrate that the inclusion of this question was improper and discriminatory. We likewise call on the Commerce Department to stop this charade and to start moving towards a fair and accurate census. Certainly our organization will be doing that. We know that damage has already been done with the suggestion of this question and with other operational difficulties caused by the Census Bureau and in particular the Commerce Department. But all of our communities, all of the organizations on this call and the advocacy community generally will make sure that the census will result in a fair and accurate count. The census is too important. Political representation is at stake. Funding for schools, roads, and hospitals is at stake. Our democracy demands a fair and accurate census, and we will continue to ensure that that happens. And that continuity will include continuing to fight in court if necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Next, we'll hear from Aaron Payment, First Vice President of the National Congress of American Indians.
Ani Buju, my name is Aaron Payment. As you just said, I'm the chairperson of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians and also First Vice President of the National Congress of American Indians. So NCI applauds the Supreme Court's decision to temporarily block the administration's plan to include the citizen question on the 2020 census. The court rightfully concluded that and upheld the lower court's decision to send the question back to the Commerce Department for further explanation. American Indian Alaska Natives, according to the U.S. Census, are already undercounted by nearly 5%. Funding that's derived from the census count approximate $1 billion. So that's roughly over $50 million, about $50 million of under funding as a result of the undercount. And so rather than throw up questions and confusion at this late stage, instead we should be focusing on all the technical work that still has to be done in training canvassers and so that they go out to tribal communities and they reach American Indian people and they're asking the questions in an appropriate way to be able to maximize the data that we need as a country to be able to provide funding. So continuing, again, the term charade's been used a couple times, and I agree with that. Continuing this charade has a chilling effect on American Indians and also racial ethnic populations to participate in the U.S. Census. And certainly that should not be anybody's motivation to try to chill certain populations from participating. As an Indigenous person, I have a perspective that everybody else is an immigrant or a descendant from immigrants. And American Indian Alaska Natives welcomed all people to this continent, and we expect that others do the same, as this is our American Indian value and also our American value. It's long been our American value. And so I urge anybody who hears this to listen to the census, listen to the drum and answer the census no matter what happens, and then also get out to vote. And you can go to our website, www.nci.org. We have information about both the census, the importance of it, and also the importance of get out to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Payment. Next, we'll hear from Jerry Green, Senior Advisor for the Census with the National Urban League.
Thank you so much. I join my colleagues in acknowledging that today is a great day for democracy. It is also a great day for every person who resides in the United States, immigrant and native-born, documented and undocumented, all of whom have a constitutional right to be counted in the decennial census. Finally, it is a great day for the thousands of career census employees who want nothing more to focus finally on the job of conducting the 2020 census without unnecessary political meddling and partisan distractions. Although we haven't read the full ruling, the National Urban League applauds the Supreme Court's ruling today against adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census. We've known from the beginning that the administration's insistence on the addition of an untested, unjust citizenship question was a blatant ploy to reduce minority participation and rob communities of their political power. So now here we are. We don't have time to sleep nor rest on the laurels of today's ruling. Neither is there time to celebrate the work of so many advocates and warrior stakeholders who worked day and night all these months to fight against this ridiculous imposition of a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Now that the Supreme Court has ruled, the National Urban League and our sister stakeholder organizations have much work to do, as the census is a mere 9 months away. Proponents of the citizenship question have cheated us out of a precious commodity, time. Time to focus on all the other important issues affecting the census, and time to build public trust in the upcoming census, especially within our communities. So the National Urban League remains committed to fighting even harder against issues like prison-based gerrymandering, the undercount of African-American men and children, and the digital divide. But we'll also continue, along with our fellow stakeholders and advocates, warrior advocates, to hold the Census Bureau and the administration accountable for ensuring the privacy and confidentiality of its data, sharing it with no one. So we applaud today's decision, and we are pleased that the court has repudiated the politicization of the census and partisan manipulation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry. Last but certainly not least, we'll hear from Alma Kavurthy, Deputy Field Director for Immigration with Community Change and the Fair Immigration Reform Movement.
Hi, everyone. I am representing FIRM and FIRM Action. We are 44 organizations. We are 44 organizations strong in 32 different states. We all know that elections have consequences. We saw that in 2016, and we saw that in 2018. And even Trump stacking the court in his favor, he wasn't able to get the ruling that he wanted today, and that is a victory for us, and we welcome it. But we should not think that the fight is over, because their motivations have been very clear from the very beginning, is to limit our power, especially the power of our families at the voting booth. Now, the case goes back to the lower courts, and our families are not just going to sit and wait to see what happens. Let's not forget that by their own count, by the Census Bureau count, more than 6 million people may not be counted if that question goes in. These are Latino, Black, and immigrant families. It is their children and their relatives who live in homes where family members have varying status. It's the people who represent the largest voting bloc in the U.S. and the ones who will decide the next president. Since Trump took office, immigrant families have lived in terror, worrying about their safety, their families' futures. And less than a week ago, Trump tweeted that there would be raids all over the country. Our movement went into overdrive over the weekend to ensure that families were safe. We know now the horrific stories of kids living in unsanitary and unsafe conditions, dying at the concentration camps and along the southern border. And thousands of asylum seekers have been waiting for months for a chance to see a judge. So through their words and their actions and through the chaos that they have created, the Trump administration has demonstrated that they really don't care about us and actually would rather erase us. That's why that question in the census was relevant to them. We're literally fighting back on all fronts at this administration as it tries to erase our voices, and we are not going to let that happen. We can't let them. We won't let them. Our voice matters because we count. So our network is doing what we do best. We are organizing. For weeks, the firm network has been engaging with those same families who are the most likely to be left uncounted. It is the same families we engage all year round. From canvassing efforts to educational sessions, we're on it. We're preparing to roll out one of the largest digital strategies to educate our communities and encourage every person to fill out the census and be counted. Through an innovative video tool, we're planning to collect hundreds of videos from people like you and me and boost them online through social media channels. Why are we doing it this way? Because one of the fundamentals of organizing is that people trust who they know. The families we work with year-round, they know us and they trust us. And while this administration is a place with our lives, we will continue to play to win, and we're gonna play to win the best game at the voting polls as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alma. Thank you so much. Operator, we are now ready to take some questions from reporters. I will note that, unfortunately, Vinita Gupta had to leave the call, but Beth Link, Census Counts Campaign Director with the Leadership Conference Education Fund, will take questions in her place. Sarah Brannon with ACLU also had to hop off. But we have Sertawin Cherry, staff attorney with the ACLU Voting Rights Project, available to take questions for the ACLU. Tony, can you please provide instructions for asking questions? And I would also note for reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker or organization.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw yourself at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask your question, please press the star and one now. We'll pause momentarily to allow questions to queue. And once again, that is star and one to ask your question. We'll take our first question from Deborah Berry with USA Today. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you, and thank you for the call. I think I heard one of the speakers talk about printing the forms, going ahead and printing the forms without a citizenship question. Can you speak to whether that's a coalition call? Are you pushing for that, particularly since I know the Census Bureau had a tentative target deadline of July 1st? Can you talk about the realities of printing and how that might look and what you're pushing for?
I can take that question. This is Arturo Vargas with NALEO Educational Fund. The Census Bureau has been very clear that they have a July 1 printing deadline that they need to meet in order to print all of the forms that are necessary to carry out Census 2020. Now, in one of the federal lawsuits, it was suggested that an October deadline would be acceptable, but the closer we've gotten to the census, the more the staff at the Census Bureau has said they need to start printing in July, and that's Monday. All the more reason why we need Secretary Ross and the Department of Commerce to allow the professionals at the Bureau to go forward with their plans now so that they can still meet their deadlines to implement a rational and well planned out census in 2020.
Do any of our other speakers want to weigh in?
Yes, this is Jerry Green, and I join the National Urban League as a member of the National Advisory Committee and chairs a seat on that committee with Arturo and John as well. In fact, a senior executive informed us, I believe, at the last meeting that they have to print 1.5 billion, that's with a B, pieces of paper, not only questionnaires, Deborah, but language assistance guides and all the various languages, postcards, and so there's an enormous amount of paper that the Bureau has been sitting on, just, you know, waiting for this decision. And I just wanted to just give some numbers that were quoted to us by Census executive staff, 1.5 billion pieces of paper.
Okay. Operator,
do you think that's likely to happen? Sorry.
Deb, are you set?
Yes, I guess just a follow-up on that. Do you think that's likely to happen, that they actually would delay? Will they be able to not do it or do it? Do you think that it will happen that way?
If there are any, as Arturo mentioned, every day from this point forward is a risk and a threat to every operation of the census, not just the printing of the paper, the training of the partnership specialists to talk to our communities about how they should respond. Everything relies on, has been held up as a result of this question. So every day is a threat and a risk to an accurate census, not just the printing of the forms. And I think they will have difficulty getting that done with each day that passes. Yes. It would be a challenge, more than a challenge. And I invite Arturo to share any perspective he might have on that as well.
And this is Beth Link, the Census Counts Campaign Director at the Leadership Conference Education Fund. I just wanted to echo what Jerry and Arturo were saying and just say, you know, really unequivocally, it's incredibly important that the Census Bureau move forward with their preparations for the 2020 census and respect the court's decision, so move forward without the addition of the citizenship question. This cloud of uncertainty and the specter of the citizenship question it has done so much damage to communities and incited real fear that, you know, we are working as a coalition with our partners both nationally and locally to educate communities about the importance of the census and encourage their participation. But it's incredibly important that the Trump administration heed their own words that they cited in their January Supreme Court cert petition, where they said that the Census Bureau must finalize the census forms by the end of June 2019. So the Census Bureau itself has said that they have this deadline. The administration has restated that deadline. We can't move forward with any other way. They need to move forward.
Arturo, did you have something to add before we take the next question?
No, I think that's been said. Thanks.
Thank you. Operator, if we could take the next question.
Once again, if you'd like to ask your question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We'll take our next question from Ronald Brownstein with The Atlantic. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Well, starting with Vanita at the very beginning, all of the tone of speakers was that this is over, that it's done and decided. I'm interested, particularly from the Leadership Conference and the ACLU, what you think is going to happen next as these cases have gone back to the district court and also the other processes proceeding in Maryland. What legal proceedings do you expect over the next few months if the administration tries to resurrect this question? And is what would be the timetable for the court, the Supreme Court, possibly allowing the question? How big a risk do you think that is?
This is John with Advancing Justice AAJC. Let me answer it from the Maryland perspective, because we are litigating the Maryland case along with MALDEF. Currently, the judge has asked or ordered the government to provide any opposition papers to our request for emergency preliminary injunction on the discrimination and racial animus claims by 8 p.m. tonight. Presumably, after that point, our judge would issue potentially any order related to our request for the preliminary emergency injunction. Then, from what the orders have indicated, we would have some limited discovery with respect to this claim based on the new evidence, and then a new order, new decision would issue from there. This is, of course, presuming that the government wishes to continue pursuing this claim, recognizing the deadline that all of us are under.
And in the central case, and in the case that the court decided on today, what do people expect is going to happen? And how worried are you that that if the administration provides a new rationale, that Roberts will switch and allow the question to go forward in a ruling sometime this fall?
Hi, this is Kerwin Cherry with the ACLU. From our perspective, this is over. The court ruled today, and as many people on this call have said, the Census Bureau has repeatedly said that these forms need to be printed next week. So we really don't see a timeline on which this could be revisited. Our view is the court spoke and the Census Bureau needs to start printing.
Yeah, can I just follow up one last time? In the highly likely circumstance that the Trump administration does not agree that the census needs to start printing and tries to provide a different rationale in the district court, I'm just wondering what people think is the prospect that the Supreme Court will rule on this again before the final decision is made.
Again, this is Curran with the ACLU. Like I said, our view is that there simply wouldn't be the possibility for the Commerce Department to come up with a new rationale. Our position is there couldn't possibly be one. And so I don't think we can possibly speculate at this point about the Supreme Court getting involved again. I think we're not in a stage to do that. And as the Maryland plaintiffs mentioned, we're definitely going to get some more information from the government about what their thoughts are on this later tonight.
Operator, are there any more questions?
At this time, we have no further questions in queue.
Great. All right. Well, thank you all for joining today's call. We'll be releasing audio of the call later today. If you have any additional questions or need to reach any of the speakers, please contact us at press@civilrights.org. Once again, that's press@civilrights.org. Thank you all and have a great afternoon.